The Mighty Whites podcast is recorded at the Don Benison Recording Studio in Allerton Bywater. For more information, visit donbenison.com or email info@donbenison.com.
Hi, and welcome to episode 2 of the Mighty Whites podcast. Once again, I'm Jack. I'm joined this time from Portland, Oregon by Casey.
Morning.
And we have a new challenger, someone who was meant to be here for the third one, but he was busy trying to impress a girl, so he wasn't here. We also have Connie.
Hello.
Well, for the first time, me and Casey said a bit about ourselves as Leeds fans, so I guess you might as well do the same thing.
Yeah, 30 years old. My first game, I was 5 years old. Went at a good time, just got ourselves up into first division, won it not long after in 92. Seen it all, basically, yeah. lot of goods, lot of bads, yeah.
Yeah, he has one thing that I'm incredibly jealous of because he was at Lazio away.
I was at Lazio away. It was a very, very good night in a very empty stadium, apart from the Leeds end.
Yeah, there was a fair bit of that on that Champions League one, weren't there? Like, yeah. When we were away at Real Madrid and nobody was in the Bernabeu.
Yeah, but no one cared about us at that point.
No, which flies in the face of our whole big club thing, but we are. Honestly, it's them, not us.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Does that mean when we were in the Champions League, we weren't famous then, but we were famous afterwards?
Yeah,
it's all... And then we became not famous again.
Yeah, basically, it's all relative. When we're in the Championship, we're a massive club. If we get in the Champions League, we're a little insignificant club. Unless we win it, which we will. Now we've got Tom Christiansen, who was the best manager ever, despite having not done anything yet. I've just decided he is.
He got Matt Derbyshire scoring.
There's not really anywhere else you can go after that, so...
No, that's very true.
Who knows?
Well, a lot's happened over the last 2 weeks since we last recorded. In fact, we sold his first player about 6 hours after we recorded, I think.
Pretty much.
The first one out the door after we recorded was Luke Murphy, went to Burton Albion, season-long loan again.
Yeah. I've made it well known I was never a big fan of Luke Murphy. He's not as bad a player as I make him out to be, but personally, I think we've moved on.
He's also not as good as I make him out to be as well. He's somewhere in between.
There is that.
We seem to have restocked on centre mids as well, so Murphy was falling down the pecking order at a rate of knots.
Mm-hmm.
I like Luke Murphy. I think I like the idea of Luke Murphy because he came in with some promise from crew. Unfortunately, he had that little run. He had that little run towards the end with when Redden was in charge, but unfortunately that didn't last. We are no longer all night for Luke Murphy.
I think what it is with him is it came in at a time when we weren't spending a lot of money. There were GFH in. We spent £1 million, if I remember rightly. I never saw a performance that befitted £1 million transfer fee, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I saw 3 or 4, but to be honest, as much as I like him, not nearly enough for the money.
No.
He did score on his debut, didn't he, though, against Brighton?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, last-minute winner as well. And it wasn't handball in the build-up at all.
Not at all, just.
Yeah, the second one that we actually talked about at a decent amount of length in the last podcast, so I won't go on about it too much, but Charlie Taylor has gone to Burnley. It's been confirmed, 4-year contract. I believe that he shed his skin and left it there for the signature.
Yeah. Yeah, good. He's gone. He didn't want to be here. Let him go. We'll get some money for him. Happy days.
Yeah, I said this last season, he's the best left-back there was in the Championship, in my opinion. But when all's said and done, he's a left-back. He's never going to win you or lose you a game, I don't think, even though he's a very good player. He wanted to go. Let him go. We've lost bigger and better players than Charlie Taylor and we've got by. So, yeah, works for him, works for us.
Yeah, and especially with everything Berardi did at the back end of last season. I mean, I would like us to sign another left-back, but even so, they'd probably be behind Berardi in the pecking order anyway because he did so well last season that...
Well, when he were in the team and Charlie Taylor were out injured around January time, I remember me and you having a conversation saying, you know, yeah, Taylor's back, but it's harsh on Babadi to drop him. He had a really, really good run of form. He's turned into a solid fullback as opposed to the raving lunatic he was when he first arrived.
Yeah,
yeah, I think we're all big fans of Berardi as well. Just, you know, a good tough tackling fullback. Like you say, he's not the liability that he was when he first arrived. He's now established himself as at least a good championship fullback. And like you say, maybe, you know, we've got a couple of youngsters who fill in. I know we've got Tyler Denton, if he stays here for the season again as a backup. But yeah, I'd be very happy to stick with Berardi for a season at least.
Yeah, well, one of the best things that happened to Charlie Taylor was he went on loan for a season to Fleetwood. Yes. And Louis Coyle signed a new 3-year deal and has now gone to Fleetwood on a season-long loan. So hopefully, because I'm not his biggest fan, admittedly. I've looked at him and I want him to be good because he's another one that's come through the academy. But I keep seeing a lot of mistakes in him. I'm hoping that this season-long loan will really have him progress as a footballer. And then I'll maybe see what everyone else seems to see in him.
Did Charlie Taylor get a promotion with Fleetwood as well when he went up?
I think that didn't they go up in playoff final that year? Or did they get beat in playoff final that year?
I'm not 100% on that.
I think they went up, remember rightly. We've done quite well because Tom Lee's got promoted when he went out on loan. Charlie Taylor's done it. So
Tom Lee's got player of the year there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had a really good season. He's a flurry.
I don't know with Louis Coyle. The little bit that I've seen of him, I do think there's something there. Whether it's going to be good enough, time will tell. I do think this loan deal out to Fleetwood will do him world of good. I think a drop down in standard will help him in a way. He's not going to be under as much scrutiny as he is at Elland Road. And hopefully, yeah, he'll have a good season and come back to us next summer and... yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, hopefully he can have a season as good as Taylor as well, because I've just checked, they did go up, they beat Burton 1-0 in playoff final that year.
Cool.
I had to check, I'm just that sort of person. The other one that has gone out, very similar story actually. He hasn't gone yet, but it's looking like it's nailed on, just like it was with Taylor leaving. Bailey Peacock-Farrell signed a new 3-year contract, which I'm assuming we're all very happy about.
Yeah.
And he's expected to have a season-long loan himself, something that we banged on about on the last podcast, actually saying he desperately needs a year's first-team football. It'll do him world of good. And it's looking like Oldham is his likely destination.
Well, at the moment, we've got a couple of decent goalkeepers. Whether Rob Green sticks around or not is another matter. But at the moment, when you've got Silvestri, Green and Weidwald on the books, then there is no need for Bailey Peacock-Farrell to be around. So yeah, let's get him out on loan, get him some experience at last, and hopefully he can lead another team to promotion. And unfortunately, they just never come back and take us up. But yeah, good for him. Get him out on loan.
See, personally, I like Bailey Peacock-Farrell. I've only seen him play a couple of games. I've seen him play a few under 23 games as well. It's always nice to see a young goalkeeper come through, you know, like Sir Robinson, Carson. It's nice to have another one come through as well. But again, as Casey's just said, we've got three at the moment decent goalkeepers who have all got an argument to be number one.
Well, except Silvestri.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah, except Silvestri. But yeah, you know, we've got three goalkeepers there who, you know, would argue that they have every right to be ahead of Bailey Peacock-Farrell, whether we think it's right or wrong. Again, hopefully we'll go out on loan, either to Oldham or anywhere else, and have a really good season and, again, come back a better player and benefit us for it in future.
Yeah, I think if he gets to play some decent first-team football all season, he's got an outside shot at an international cap this season. Because didn't he go to... He went on to the Northern Ireland squad, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
While he was just playing youth team football for us.
Yeah.
If he, say, has a season, full year, week in, week out in League Two and has a good season, there's no reason he won't be in Northern Ireland squads by the end of that season.
Well, no, who's the... It's McGovern, isn't it, who's the Northern Ireland goalkeeper? The one at Norwich?
Yeah, they're the couple, but none of them are standout. And if they see a good young one, they'd be likely to throw him in squad straight away and maybe give him a game in friendly to see what he's like.
Yeah. Again, I hope he has a really good year out on loan. I do hope he gets his deal and goes out on loan. I think it'll be the best thing for him. And yeah, hopefully he comes back a better player and it benefits us. And yeah, good luck to him.
Those are all of us are confirmed ones out, but there's a few that are expected to go. Apparently, Christiansen has definitely told Diego Raga and Irwin to find new clubs and is not in the plans at all. Both of which I agree with. I think Irwin did his best in pre-season. He did actually chip in with a couple of goals and do everything he could, but he's just not good enough to be at Leeds, really.
Yeah, he's been around now. He's been with us 2 years and...
It might be three.
2 or 3 then, and he's made a handful of appearances. He's not really set the world alight when he's been out on loan either. I think he's a bit of, like, when I've seen him, I've sort of given him credit for his effort, but there's been nothing there to make me think he warranted a run in the first team. It just never really worked out for him.
No, to be fair to him, last season, I think he was actually Oldham's top scorer. It's just that that was with about 7 or 8 goals. So he didn't see much of it. Yeah, a bit of a George Graham job.
I mean, for me, Willie Irwin, he hardly set world alight up in SPL. He played well for Motherwell. He got into a fight with Bilal Mosny, I believe, against Rangers, and... to me, he got signed off the back of that. So
speaks the Celtic guy.
Yes, I must put it out there now that Celtic are my second team. But yeah,
as you would have probably guessed if you'd have heard his full name, which is the surname Con Cannon.
Getting back to Lee Irwin. He didn't, as we've said, he didn't really set world alight in league below, so I've just seen nothing that makes me think he could do it for us on a consistent basis. And Diego Raga, I feel a bit sorry for Diego Raga, if I'm being honest, because when Evans brought him in, he did a good job for us at the time, and I just think he's been caught up in us signing a lot of midfielders that are just better than him. He seemed to do all right out at Ipswich last year on loan. And, yeah, good luck to him. I don't wish him any bad whatsoever when he does leave. And, yeah, again, good luck to him.
Yeah, I think Irwin will find a solid League One club somewhere middle of the table. But I think Bradford could actually do a lot worse than signing him. I'm not because they're still short a big man, I believe.
Well, they've got Dom Polian up there now as well. Me and you had a chat about this. You know, little man, big man. It could work in theory.
Yeah, somewhere like that. And I think Diego Raga will get a club at bottom at Championship.
Yeah.
Burton, or similar. Probably not Burton because they've all just taken Murphy on loan, but somewhere like that. Yeah. Somewhere down there. Another one that's been linked to a move away, it came a bit out of nowhere when it came through, but to be honest, it does make a bit of sense. Pablo Hernandez has been quite heavily linked with... It's Maccabi Tel Aviv, isn't it, that he's been linked with?
Yes.
What would we... I asked a few people on Twitter. No one wanted... Well, a couple of people weren't fussed at all if he went. For the most part, people didn't want him to go, but they didn't think it would be the end of the world if he did. What do you reckon to the chance of Pablo Hernandez leaving?
Yeah, it'll be a shame if he goes. I think he definitely has talent, and at times he pulled strings in midfield, but there are certain games and certain teams we came up against where he was completely ineffective. And I think at this level he's probably a bit of a luxury to have. But I think he would be a great player to have as an option, either off the bench or if you're playing those teams maybe a bit lower down where you know you're going to create a few more chances. You know, he's definitely got quality, and at least for another year anyway, while he's under contract, I think I'd like to see him stick around. But if he went, I do think we've already brought in the other options to replace him. It would be unfortunate, but if he goes, he goes.
Yeah, I'm pretty much same as the majority, really, I think, on Hernandez. Done a really good job for us this year in parts. There's games where he's not been the right person. When you're in Championship and you're battling and you're away from home, for example, he's not the person that you need. He's a luxury, let's be honest. I dare say he'll be on a decent amount of money for our wage structure as well. But again, you know, if he went, fair play to him. But I wouldn't mind seeing him stay for another season. No. But we have got, you know, a lot of alternatives now for him.
Yeah, so we've had a few come in. We'll talk a bit more about those in a couple of minutes. But there's one more that's leaving. A very special man. Kind of, he's so important in the history of Leeds United for many, many reasons.
You see, for me, he's going to go down as one of modern day greats for all the wrong reasons, but he is going to be in there.
He's going to be big, isn't he? No one is going to forget the name Giuseppe Belushi.
No.
He is, in many ways, a titan of football. If the Titans were destroying your football club, he would be there.
And to put it bluntly, he's also a massive arse.
He is. He's a complete prick. But because he is such a monumental figure in the history of Leeds United, we have very quickly knocked together what we think is a truly glowing tribute to the man that is Giuseppe Belushi. And we would like to play it for you now. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So here I am with my thoughts of you. And this world I've left for me. Stoic faces when I think of you. And how I once believed.
Yeah, it goes down as another error from Giuseppe Belushi. And another frustrating night for Leeds, another frustrating night from Belushi's point of view. It's two bad errors in 4 days, and two bad errors that have cost the club 3 points without any question.
Say what I really think it is, I won't be doing this on Tuesday night. Just defending, managing a game, just poor. What do people think? I mean, that's not professional football. I wouldn't expect to see that from a player that's not getting paid good money. I really wouldn't. That's not defending.
Saturday's led to the red card for Marco Silvestri and the Rotherham's penalty. Challenge tonight has led to QPR's penalty. A lot of people thought tonight that Belushi should have dropped out of the side. I think it's going to fall to Evans to do that, doesn't it? But obviously more questions tonight about the defence, about Belushi, and as I say, that is going to be a focal point moving up for the weekend.
I think it's a fitting tribute to the man who fully deserves it. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, you fucking wanker. Oh, it's so good to have rid of him, the fucking prick. But I am a little bit emotional from listening to that beautiful, beautiful tribute.
After listening to it, I'd give him another year.
Yeah. New captain.
A warrior.
I think that the final line of that really sums him up. You'll never change.
You will never change.
A leopard can't change its spot, and a is always a.
Yeah.
Anyway, happier news. We've signed Vernon and Anita from Newcastle, lads.
Cracking signing.
Yeah, I genuinely think this is a brilliant signing, to be honest. It came out of nowhere as well. It's so nice for the club not to be leaking everything left, right and centre.
The way he was revealed, though, it screamed a little bit of Phoenix Knights. We were at the kit launch and all of a sudden we just said, oh, and also we have a new signing and I'll put Vernon and Anita. Glad he's here, but yeah, it was a little bit tin pot how we unveiled him, if I'm being honest.
You can't call it tin pot, not with the videos that we did in the week afterwards.
Yeah, they're not great either, but I think they're...
Can we take this moment now to just have a brief discussion about revealing signings over the last few weeks? Because I feel like Aston Villa set out a gauntlet to other clubs to try and come up with the wankiest way to introduce new signings to a club.
In all fairness, though, they have just signed John Terry.
Yeah, but to be honest, I have to say, their WhatsApp thing was more tin pot than ours.
Yeah.
That was horrifically bad. And to be honest, the only winners out of all of this are Southampton.
Well, yeah.
With their special reveal for the new one-year deal for Stuart Taylor.
That was fantastic. That was a film I wanted to go see when I saw that.
It has to be said, a lot of people are actually fans of the way the social media team have done it. Hmm. And I think it's a bit shite, to be honest. But the one thing is, they have been way more engaged with fans on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. And that is a good thing, undeniably.
And the further away we can get from a few years ago, don't go to bed yet, and we're all thinking, oh, there's going to be a new signing, it's going to be fantastic. Oh no, Matt Smith and Don Polian have been sold. Excellent. The better, I think. So, yeah. Anything to improve on that?
I think as much as, you know, we may not like the way they're doing it and all these videos that they're putting out on social media, there's a younger generation now, I think, of as well. They are very in tune with all that sort of stuff, so it relates to them. It may not be our idea of how you unveil a signing or tease a signing, but yeah, it's nice to show that there's a bit of thought going into it and that they're relating to fans of all ages, to be honest with you. It's nice to see we're doing things properly again. We're involving in people. We're not cutting people out. We're not isolating anyone. It's nice to see.
Yeah, and I suppose even if it is a bit crap, if something goes viral for being a bit crap, that still gets a load of people to see it.
Well, yeah.
And it still might help draw in, you know. I would hope that there aren't many 6 and 7 year olds on Twitter, but there probably is. Or at least looking at other people's...
I think there'll be more on there than what you think.
If you have a child and they have a Twitter account and they're below 10, think about your parenting. Keep listening to the podcast, but really take a moment to think about your parenting skills.
Yeah, just if they want to go on Twitter instead, just let them on at Mighty Whites Pod on Twitter.
Beautiful.
And I will, if you all promise to do that, I will try and not swear on it.
Much.
At least not as much.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the subject at hand. Vernon and Anita, we've got sidetracked from what I think is a really good signing.
Yeah, very happy with it.
I just can't understand why Newcastle had let him go, if I'm being honest. I'm glad he has, but he's played a lot of games for them, both in Premier League and in Championship. 31 games last year for them in a team that, you know, let's be honest, shouldn't have really been in Championship anyway, really. Let's be honest. And for us to sign someone of that calibre, happy days. So I'm over the moon with it. I think he could work out to be the best signing out of them all if we stick with what we've bought in.
The thing that's a good sign, actually, is you're there saying, I don't know why Newcastle have got rid of him. for the most part, that's been the reaction of the Newcastle fans that I've seen. They'll all say I'd have kept him, given him a new deal. Maybe Rafa doesn't like that he's about 5'2". I don't know.
At the moment, where do we see him fitting into the team? I know it hasn't fully come together yet, but where do we see him best coming in?
If it was me now, if no defenders came in, I think Anita would play right back and it'd be Erling and Janssen. I'm hoping that we will sign a centre-half before that happens, because I do think Anita's a better centre-mid than he is right-back. But at the moment, I'd play him at right-back and Berardi at left-back.
If I'm being honest, based on the last half a dozen or more games of last season, provided we get another right-back in, or left-back, sorry, I'd give him a shot in midfield, because Liam Bridcut wasn't great, and this could be a bit of a controversial statement, this, but Liam Bridcut was shocking towards the end of last season.
We talked about this 2 weeks ago, because Casey missed most of that, because most of that terrible run was when he was in Portland. But the second half of last season, it was dreadful. But hopefully he'll be back to his best this season anyway.
You'd like to hope so, but I think if we're bringing in someone of his calibre and experience, both in Premier League and in Championship now, for me, he needs to be in starting 11.
Oh, in definitely. Some capacity. And he's it's with it being a free transfer as well. And he'll be on good wages by league standards, but he's not going to be breaking the bank, I don't think.
No.
The next one we brought in, this one's a bit of a stabbing dark, really, I reckon. But I'm willing to give it a chance. He's someone who I had no idea of, literally up until he first started getting linked to Leeds. Caleb Ekuban from Chievo. Undisclosed fee, but they reckon it's about £500,000. He's been shipped out on loan from Chievo a few times. But the last one was to Partizani Tirana. That's written down on my phone. That's the only reason I know. In Albania, where he got 1-2, 17-34. Which is a pretty good record, but it's the Albanian league, so this is a stab in the dark, really.
What are you trying to say about the Albanian league? It's a fine standard of football, and I will not have the good name of Partizani Tirana be brought down like that.
Yeah, that's true. I apologise to any Partizani Tirana fans listening.
Or any Albanian listeners, for that matter.
Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't denigrate your country's football, because there is a decent chance if we drew you in the World Cup or Euros that you'd knock us out. So,
I think we've done enough there to get around that. I think the Albanians will be back on side.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's not Connie's problem anyway with his Irish support, so.
Yeah.
No, but in all fairness, from the clips that we have seen, he looks like he's pretty quick and quite powerful. He looks a good athlete. And some of his finishes were nice finishes, but he seemed to be getting a lot of time to do it.
I mean, I don't know. I've seen very little of him, but if Christiansen sticks with what he says and goes with what he's done in the past, he likes to play with more than one up top. If he is as quick as we think he's going to be, he could be very good foil for Chris Wood.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that through pre-season he has been playing one up front, but that might just be because Wood hasn't been available yet, so he won't be even trying it until Wood's back. But we'll see. Yeah. We're on to... Well, actually, we'll come back to the main two. We'll just get the others out of the way, because these aren't actually confirmed anywhere yet, but it's been all over Twitter, and especially Snapchat and Instagram, which all the young people are very au fait with. Alejandro Machuca and Adrian Balboa is a great name, by the way, have signed...
Adrian!
I know, it's that... My first thought was Adrian in the Stallone voice, and that was before I even clocked. Oh, yeah, Balboa. They've both signed ostensibly for the under-23s, which is what we're expecting with Madgar Gomez, but he's had a lot of first-team action in pre-season, so I'm guessing that he'll probably at least play against Vale. I don't know whether these will. But when I've looked them up, there's very little information online about these two.
If this is Football Manager, we'll say they're maybe two star rated with the potential of a third. I bet that's as good an analysis as we're going to get on this one, I think.
Yeah, we'll probably know if they're rated any good if one of them goes out on loan. Because if one of them goes out on loan, that probably means that's the one that they fancy to maybe be something.
I feel sorry for these lads because, you know, they're quite young and they come over. At least they come to, you know, the garden city of Leeds. Lovely area. Home, obviously. And then they're like, right, you know, what are we going to be doing? We've got a plan to send you out on loan. Oh, brilliant. You know, going to get some experience. Fantastic. Where do you want me to go? Oldham. Poor lads.
Yeah, well, we'll soon see. Anyway, with those, we'll probably be waiting for people on Twitter who actually go watch the under-23s saying, yeah, this Wigan looks good or this one doesn't.
At the end of the day, they're here for under-23s. If they turn out to be some good, great. If they don't, then it's as minimal risk as you can possibly get. So let's have a look at them, let's see what they're about.
When I had a look online for them, there was articles citing both of them as being linked to Leeds as early as like the middle of April. And a lot of them said that the reason that they came to Leeds' attention was because Pep Clotet quite likes them. So it could be that this all got arranged before Gary Monk swanned off like a twat. And the deal's just gone through anyway.
To be honest, if we're talking about loaning these players out, if we think they're worth doing that, and there's any truth behind this Clotet thing, we could do a lot worse than send them to him at Oxford.
Yeah, if they're fancy.
You know, it's. I'm just thinking out loud, that's all. But like I say, they're worth a look at. They're here for under-23s. It's as minimal risk as it possibly can be. So, yeah, just give them a crack, see what they're like.
Yeah, on to the main ones then. It's finally done. Samuel Size from Huesca. 4-year deal, about £3 million quid, I reckon. Does he have any hope of being as good as we think he's going to be? Or at least as much as Twitter thinks he's going to be? Because you would think that we had signed Jesus and not Navas.
Oh, good God.
It's funny when you look through the list of teams he's been at and then where he is. You know, a slight decline recently, but yeah, let's give. I think he could be something that will be quite useful from what little I've seen. And with these players, it's just about getting them acquainted to the Championship quick enough. In some cases, I know when we had Adrian a couple of years ago with his flopping around like a fish, you see with certain players that they have the technique, but some of them just can't cope with the Championship, the physicality of it. If he can get settled into that quick enough, then I think he could be an asset for us.
I'll be honest with Samuel Says. He's the reason why, if Pablo Hernandez did end up going back to Israel,
he was in the opposite of Israel, wasn't he? He was in Qatar.
He really was.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, if he ends up going out to Maccabi Tel Aviv, if Samuel Says fits in like we all hope he does, he's a younger, I dare say cheaper in terms of wages, alternative to him. So this is why I'm not too opposed to Hernandez going. I hope Samuel Says comes good for us. But it's like with rest of them, Barbin, Vernon and Eater up to press. It's about getting them acquainted into physicality at league. There's a lot that they're going to have to get acquainted to very quickly. I hope they do. So, yeah, I'm happy with it anyway.
One of the things that gives me a lot of hope with Size, and I know it's the case for a lot of people, is that he was linked with so many different clubs. And usually when someone's being touted around like that, it means two things. It means, one, they've been in good nick, and two, they've got a good agent.
Yeah.
And I think that he'll be really good, but he's not the signing I'm most excited about. The one I'm most excited about is Gianni Alioski from Lugano. He's another 4-year deal, undisclosed fee, but I've read everything from 1.7 to 2.5 million, so we'll say about 2 million. The stat that I really like about him is last season involved in 30 goals, 16 goals, 14 assists. That's more than anyone in the Swiss League last season. And the Swiss League is like, there's like the second tier of leagues, isn't there, after the main ones, where you've got like the Eredivisie would be at the top of that tier, yeah. And you've got like the Austrian League and the Czech League and stuff like that. The Swiss League, a load of leagues where they do decent in Europa League. They're not mugs leagues, they're decent standards, and he in that league contributed to more goals than anyone, and he wasn't at one of the top clubs. And I've just, the whole time I've got a feeling that he's going to be the big one this season. I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah. Again, he's like, it's like we've said, he's done it in the Swiss league. So, yeah, it's not a bad league. It's not one of the best leagues in the world, but it's of a decent standard. Like you said, the clubs seem to have decent runs in Europe. So, yeah. And he's done it, like you say, for a less fashionable club in Lugano. It's nice to see that he's been involved in a lot of goals. I'm pretty confident in saying that I don't think he'll bag us 16 next season, but lovely if he does. But, you know, it'd be nice to see a midfielder chipping in with goals, because I think that's one of the areas we lacked last season. We didn't really have a midfielder chipping in with any great amount of goals. I know Hernandez got a few, but by having that, there were very few and far between from midfield. And, you know, if he comes in and hits ground running, hopefully, his goals could be different. It could be the thing that we need to push us over the line a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that we're getting someone who's coming in off such a good season. You know, someone coming in on form, like you say, from the Swiss league as well. It's not, now my knowledge of the Swiss league isn't the best, but, you know, having watched the Swiss national team player, who again are a solid team at times, you know, he will be used to at least a level of physicality. It's not, you know, you sort of tippy-tappy football there. So hopefully it's not going to be too much of an adjustment for him to come in. And if he can hit the ground running, like you say, calm, then it'd be great to have that an extra outlet from midfield that we really need to exploit, take a bit of the pressure off Chris Wood.
Yeah, definitely. Don't get me wrong, Chris Wood were phenomenal last year. Pleasantly surprised even with his performances last season. It'd just be nice to have that player or a couple of them chipping in with, you know, 8-10 goals from midfield. You look at the teams that went up last year and they all had that, whereas we didn't. That's not to say as midfield, you know, we're lacking in, you know, many departments, but it'd just be nice to see someone chip in with goals. You know, we've signed players, you know, again, this could be a bit of a controversial one, but, you know, like, we've got Stuart Dallas there now, for example, and for me, you know, we've got players in here now, we've got a few that can play in his position, and, you know, I think this season's a big season for Stuart Dallas, and I think if he don't perform, you know, we've got to give one of these lads a chance. And, you know, he's been here long enough now, Stuart Dallas, and he's not, for me, he's not really delivered. He does it in flashes, and, you know, these players are here now, so it's good competition, if not else. And, yeah, if can chip in with goals, great.
I said the same 2 weeks ago, and I still think it's the same. I said it's a massive season for Stuart Dallas. I really like Stuart Dallas. I think he's really good. But this season will be the first season since he joined Leeds that he'll actually have a pre-season. Because he joined us in August the first time, didn't get one, and then played at the Euros and missed all the pre-season.
Yeah.
So this is the make or break one. Like, if he doesn't do it this season, then he wants to be gone. Because this is the season where he can prove whether he's up to standard or not.
The sad thing is, with him, is when he does turn it on and he does play like the Stuart Dallas we all knew at Brentford, he's a quality player. You know, we've seen him do it at an international tournament. This is the annoying thing with him. You know, you'd just like to see a bit more consistency from him, and hopefully now these players are here, you know, I dare say there may well be more to come as well. It'll just give him a kick up backside, for want of a better way of putting it. And, you know, I think the competition for places, because let's face it, that we didn't really have it last year. We did have people there that could play in his position, but there were no real competition there. Looks like there is now. So, you know, hopefully they'll push each other on and, yeah, benefit squad even more.
Speaking of getting goals, chipping in, we've been linked with a player who is very good at chipping in with goals, but from centre-half. Been linked quite heavily in a lot of places, and I do think part of it might be him trolling us and flaunting his mate, how his mates were Luke Ayling. But we are being linked to Aidan Flint from Bristol City. Now, he's a player that, and it isn't just me, a lot of people have liked for a long time. Big, really good in the air, good strength. His defending isn't the greatest, according to some of Bristol City fans I've seen, but he's definitely, from basically, I think he's a lot better than Liam Cooper for a start. And there hasn't been a season where he's chipped in with less than like 7 goals. And one of them, didn't he get like 17 or something in League One? Yeah. He scored a hat trick on the last day.
Yeah, it was the year they came up from League One when they had Matt Smith on loan and he banged a load in for them as well, yeah.
Yeah, he got 14 goals in 46 games that last season in League One. And then the last couple of seasons, he got 6 and 5. So, impressive numbers.
In the league, that is quality from a defender. I actually thought he got a bit more than that because he seems to pop up every week if you're watching like Soccer Saturday. But it must be one of the memory tricks where you just think he does.
I mean, yeah, for me, he's... It's looking more and more unlikely that Kyle Bartley's not going to be coming back.
I would be amazed if he comes back.
Yeah. If he's, you know, it's looking like he's not going to. I think out of, you know, possible alternatives to him, I think Aidan Flint's right up there. I don't think he'd command that much of a transfer fee in grand scheme of things. He's played at this level most of his career, I'm pretty confident in saying. He may have had a couple of dips down at a League One, but yeah, he's performed for Bristol City, and let's face it, they've had a lot of ups and downs at Bristol City. They're either really good or really, really poor, and he seems to perform, you know, consistently for them. So it'd be nice if we could get him in. Like, as you've said, he's a better player than Liam Cooper. I've got no issue with Cooper being there as backup, but yeah, I do think we need another commanding centre-half in there with Pontus Jansson, definitely. Yeah.
The other one that I've seen linked a bit is a Danish lad, Andreas Maxo, from FC Nordjylland. And that was, I think it was in the Danish press quite heavily touted, but I think I saw something on Twitter. I think they've just sold a different centre-back. So that it might not be as good, but from what I've seen of him and from what I've read, it looks like he would definitely be a decent signing. Although, luckily, Leeds have a decent Scandinavian following, so there's a few that know a lot more than me, and they all seem to quite like him, which helps. I mean, he's played quite a lot of under-21 football for Denmark, and he's played like over 100 senior games at centre-half, and he's only 23. So it could be a good one if we could get him.
Yeah, again, he's playing in Danish league, which, as we've mentioned before, with Swiss league with Malioski, it's not a dreadful standard of football, really. Denmark's produced a lot of solid footballers in all positions, and generally when they do come over to England to play, for the most part, they do a pretty decent job. Obviously, there's a few that go by wayside, but yeah, you know, if there's any truth to it, as limited as my knowledge is on the Danish league.
Don't worry, we had a load of ones in the last one as well where we're going, well, we don't know, and we probably won't know the next one either, and it's turned out to be true.
But yeah, you know, going off what I've seen in the past with Danish defenders, especially that have come over to England to play, they seem to do a solid job. They seem to adapt quickly. So, yeah, see how it plays out.
There's only been one other main change at the club. I think it was at the Geisley game that it actually happened. We have a new first team coach in Paul Butler. Not that Paul Butler.
Oh.
I know you were a big fan of Paul Butler. You loved seeing people look like they're running through treacle. That's why you liked Matt Heath as well.
Good God, Matt Heath.
And Paul Butler as well, going through his midlife crisis when he decided he was going to be a fat Paul Weller. And then he had that fight at a PTA meeting or something like that a few years ago. I was disappointed that it's not him.
Yeah, but he was the ex-coach at Donny and Oldham, both under Dickoff. He's got a pretty good reputation within the game from everything I've read. The main one that affects Leeds fans is he was quite heavily praised on Twitter by Big Matt Smith. And I trust Big Matt Smith because he's very well spoken and very nice. And he's got a nice mum.
He's got a lovely mum.
A great mum.
I will not hear anything said of his parents. They are the loveliest people, and I was glad to be friends with them for the brief period I was.
Casey, sitting near someone at a football game and talking to them doesn't count them as friends.
Listen, I'm just saying, me and Matt Smith hung out at least once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we hang out a lot when you're back home, and we don't even like you. We're your friends.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, one good thing compared to the last podcast is we actually have some games to talk about, which is always nice. And we would have gone to the first one, but they played it behind closed doors at Four Patch. So, in fairness, I would have loved to have gone to more friendlies, but they didn't coincide with work well. And as I'm having to book a load of time off for the actual season, I can't really get away with it during pre-season. I might make the Oxford game if I'm lucky. But the first one, 4-2 win over Harrogate Town, and I don't count those two goals because Belushi was on the pitch, so they're always going to concede for both of them. Kim Aruf, Magda Gomez, Pablo Hernandez, Lee Irwin. Did anyone see much at game, listen to it, watch the highlights? I mean, I've watched the highlights, we looked fine.
I saw the Magda Gomez goal. Looked decent finish, took it well. I saw bits of it, if I'm being honest. I didn't see it all. I listened to little bits of it, and yeah, we sounded as good as we could sound against Harrogate Town in a behind closed doors friendly, if I'm being honest. But yeah, good start to pre-season. Nice to see, you know, the likes of Gomez and Lee Irwin getting up score sheet as well. You know, if he is to go, best way he can do it is knock a few goals in pre-season, get a bit of interest in him. So yeah, decent enough start.
Can we take a moment to appreciate Hadi Sacko's breakaway, the speed, the passion in his run, and then that touch as he went through. It was impressive.
I said on Twitter at the time, and that was the most Hadi Sacko clip I have ever seen. Look at all this potential. Look at the raw talent. Look at the pace. Oh, this guy could be amazing. Oh, he's taken the worst touch I've ever seen.
It was basically last season summed up in one little clip, pretty much. And I like Hadi Sacko. I will go on record as saying I like Hadi Sacko.
He's another one on, and we've got a few now this season. It's great. He seems to get what it means to be at Leeds.
Yeah.
You know, he's very self-aware with the square it had his stuff and all of that, but he just seems to get it and he seems to care. And that there's a lot about that that gets me on board.
Well, we haven't seen that at the club for a long, long time, up until the last couple of years when it's slowly started to sort itself out again. So, yeah, it's nice to see. Gets you along where we're Leeds fans.
Yeah.
Well, we're basically saying that Hadi Sacko and Andy Hughes are the same.
That is a weird comparison because there are a lot of similarities in that neither of them are quite good enough. The difference is I think Hadi Sacko might become good enough, whereas Andy Hughes is at the end of his career and going the other way. I love Andy Hughes, but he wasn't very good.
It's like Dennis Wise said at the time, you know, when he gave Dale the cutter's balls off speech, you know, he said it with such enthusiasm, you know, we've got Andy Hughes in, we're trying. Yeah, he did try, but, you know, he was a good dancer. That's all I can say about Andy Hughes. He was a very good dancer.
It's still, to this day, the worst I've ever felt at a football game. A chance fell to... I was in the south stand, and a chance fell to Andy Hughes about 8 yards out. I can't remember who we were playing or anything, unfortunately.
It was Swindon.
Was it? But
it was when they beat... It was when they beat us 3-0.
It wasn't Billy Painter tore us apart, if I remember
was
rightly.
Was it that game? I just remember this chance fell to Andy Hughes.
I was with you.
Yeah, and he went to smash this ball home and, like, scuffed it, and it rolled into keeper's hands at, like, 1 mile an hour. And as you sometimes do at football games, I really lost my temper, and I jumped up and went, "Fuck's sake, Hughes, that was fucking useless, get off the fucking field." And he looked up and looked me dead in the eye. And he gave me this look, and it wasn't anger. It was a look of, look, mate, I'm trying.
Was it a bit like Micah Richards last year, the year Aston Villa went down, when he went to fans and said, look, we're trying. We're not great.
He gave me this look. And I reckon for about 5-6 weeks after, I didn't shout anything like that at a game because it stuck with me. I felt absolutely horrible. It's like the opposite of what the fans at Guiseley must have felt when they were yelling at Belushi. The complete opposite of that is what I felt when I yelled at Andy Hughes.
You've also yelled at him a second time as well. I was with you in the northwest corner once, if I remember rightly. First year back in Championship, we were right down at the bottom. I think we were playing Portsmouth at home. I think it was that. And Andy Hughes was warming up, and you shouted at Andy Hughes to move out of your way because he was blocking your view.
Was that Andy Hughes? I do remember that, where the subs came and stood and did the stretches directly in front of me because we were like second row.
Yeah.
And me going, lads, I've paid 30 odd quid for a ticket. Do you mind moving 4 yards at side?
Should have asked him to dance.
In fairness, they moved. They were nice about it.
Might have remembered you.
Yeah, he might have looked at me and gone, I remember that fat prick. I best move, otherwise he might look at me with regret. Yeah, the second friendly, anyway, I did briefly mention it then. 5-1 win over Geisley. Dallas scoring after 22 seconds with a really nice goal, actually. Both his goals were really good finishes. Antonsen got one, another two for the outward going Lee Irwin.
Yeah, I saw both of Stuart Dallas's goals. I'm going to go against kind of what I've said earlier in the podcast. He had a really good game, albeit Geisley, yeah, but took both his goals well. Nice to see him doing it, if I'm being honest. That's sort of more what I'm looking for myself in Stuart Dallas. That's more, you know, to me, what we signed from Brentford. Antonsen, yeah, nice to see him getting up goal, getting out score sheet as well. I felt a bit sorry for Antonsen last year.
Me too.
There is a good player in there, and I think when he came on in difficult games. He didn't really get a lot of time. I think that was one of Gary Monk's downfalls. I honestly think his substitutions weren't always the best. I didn't feel.
And no, that's fair enough, I think.
He'd bring Antonsen on with 5 minutes left in a game where we were losing and wound at Kosh, and you know, it did get a lot of flack, and there were some games where, you know, it didn't cover itself in glory. But when you're giving someone that amount of time to get into a game, it's hard, you know. But I hope he kicks on this year, and I hope he gets more of a crack at it. And again, Lee Irwin, yeah, he's doing the best thing he can do. If he's going to get a move, start banging goals.
There's not a lot I can. I've seen, I think, a couple of the goals. I haven't seen the full highlights from the game, but yeah, like you say, it was good to see Antonsen get a goal and kind of remind us all that he is a striker, he is here. Dallas getting a couple of goals. We should be demolishing these teams, which I'm sure we'll come on to that again in a minute when we discuss the next friendly. But yeah, it was good that from the first two games we got 9 goals. And they'd come from few different players as well. That's encouraging at this stage.
Well, the game that he was alluding to there, 2-0 win over North Ferriby, I was able to actually listen to the commentary the whole way through. This could have been 9, this. It was an absolute battering. They just didn't finish well. It's kind of weird because overall, I think Marcus Antonsen is a good finisher, but in this game, he should have had 5 or 6. I've seen the highlights since as well. It's a bit odd because his goal was a really well-taken first touch and a really nice finish. And then he had 3 easier chances and he missed all of them. But overall, I don't think we were that bad in this game. It's the least we've been troubled defensively, which I'm sure had nothing to do with the Italian leaving.
No.
Nothing to do with that at all.
No.
But yeah, we were more dominant than 2-0 would suggest in this game. It were Antonsen and Roof with the goals. Roof's was a really nice finish as well, left foot in off bar.
That's the only footage I've seen of this game, I've got to be honest on that. Yeah, it's nice to see Kimmeroo for a bunch of goals. Again, I think this is a big season for Roof again. He showed glimpses last year of what he can do. I really like Kimmeroo. There's a really good player in there somewhere. I really do believe that. And if he can add more goals to his game, he's belting asset for us. He showed he can do it with his goal against Villa, the header against Aston Villa.
Yeah, header against Villa was a big, really big goal. And he played brilliantly against Liverpool in the League Cup away, and he just didn't get the rewards he deserved.
Yeah, he did have a good game in that, yeah. But again, I think this is a big year for Roof. You know, he made a big jump coming from Oxford, banged a lot of goals in League Two. I think as far as debut seasons go last year, he did well. He was solid. He did a job for us. He just needs to add a few more goals to his game for me. And I think he is capable of doing that. He gets in the right positions. And I think with more experience at this level and more game time, yeah, I think it'll come with both. I must say I'm a massive fan of him. And yeah, I just hope he can help Wood out a bit more with some goals.
I've got to agree as well. Big, big fan of Kanaru. It was great getting him off the back of a very strong season. And hopefully he can give a few more chances, create a few more chances and get us a few more goals. Just to help you out, Connie, as well, I know you said you've only seen the goals. Basically, all you need to do is picture various players shooting from 10 yards out, going just wide and hearing the sound, ooh. And that was pretty much 5 minutes of highlights.
Yeah, and a couple off the post as well.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
We should have had one more friendly to talk about that should have finished a couple of hours ago. But unfortunately, this friendly with Ingolstadt was cancelled because they were expecting a load of professional hooligans, and that's a quote, to show up at the game. And normally I'd think, oh, that sounds like bollocks. But the exact same thing happened 2 years ago.
Yes.
With the Eintracht Frankfurt game, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Which is still, from what I think Phil Hay tweeted about it the other day, that apparently there's still about 20 people still being criminally processed for that. Which doesn't say a lot about how quickly their legal system's moving.
No, and if that's sort of the level that we're dealing with here, you want to be getting as many games under belt as you can pre-season, but safety's got to come into it as well, obviously. And if this were going to happen and they had some form of intelligence that it were going to happen, right thing for everyone involved, both Ingolstadt and Leeds United, for players, any fans that are there, just for everyone really. You know, it's got no place in football, it goes without saying. I'm sure Ingolstadt was frustrated about it as we are. I think that's top and bottom of it, really. If that's going to be happening, you know, they need to think it's safety of everyone else first.
I have a lot of sympathy with people that went, because obviously they went out there ready for this game, and I think it had already been moved once before this happened.
Yeah, it had, yeah.
But the one thing is, at least with the people that have gone out there and travelled, it's not the end of the world. They're still on holiday in Austria. They can still go out and have a drink with a load of Leeds fans and stuff. It sucks that the game will happen for them, but it's not the end of the world. There's bigger issues at play. I mean, this is something that we should have really mentioned at the top of the show. But with everything that's happened with Bradley Lowry in the last couple of weeks and everything that we've seen with that, we shouldn't really complain too much about a friendly being cancelled because they're expecting a load of professional knobheads to show up.
Yeah.
It's hardly the end of the world. There's bigger issues in the world. And it's one of the main things that he did was give a lot of football fans a lot of perspective.
Well,
and
yeah.
I just want to say now, this little man, you were really great. You brought out the best in a lot of people and, you know, rest in peace and all that. I don't want to do a big tribute thing. It's not the sort of thing to do, but, you know, obviously all the sympathies with his family and stuff, he's done great. At least he got to have an interesting end to his life, and it's better than it could have been, I suppose.
And, yeah, like you say, you don't want to really go on about it too much. I mean, obviously, you know, thoughts with his family and all that lot. And but you have got to say as well, credit to football in general, fans as well, and also you've got to mention Jermaine Defoe as well. Footballers do get a lot of bad press, but fair play to him and all. Yeah,
it's a shame here about what happened with Bradley, but like you say, he had a more interesting life in his last couple of years than most children will ever get to experience. And there's not much else I can add from what you guys have said. It's very sad news.
Yeah, obviously, we were going to mention something about that at the start, and it just didn't happen. So I didn't mean to just slide it in the middle. I know it's a bit of a depressing topic, but it needed said, really. Because, it's awful. But after that friendly's been cancelled, we've still, in theory, provided the authorities don't cancel it, we've still got two games in Austria. We've got a home game against Borussia Mönchengladbach. A home game? Why did I say that? That's not accurate.
We can call Austria home, it's fine.
Basically, I'm looking at a list and Leeds are listed first, so I just said home game out of habit. No, we're in Austria for both of them. No, we're playing against Borussia Mönchengladbach and one against Eibar, which should be two fairly decent tests, you would have thought.
Eibar, I'm looking forward to him as well, because Saez against one of his old clubs, so he's clearly going to have to go there in pre-season with a point to prove.
Yeah, we need to stick some money on him first goal, don't we, if he's that.
I know, talking about the Mönchengladbach game, I'm a big fan of German football, and I do watch quite a bit of it, and Mönchengladbach are a very, very good team, it goes without saying. I don't think they've qualified for Champions League this year, but they are in European competition. They have been in the Champions League last year or the year before. It'll be a really, really good test against us, against that, I think. And Eibar in La Liga, I believe they still are.
Yeah, they came 10th in La Liga last season.
Yeah, so we're talking about a team that's come mid-table in arguably, some will say, the best league in the world. Some say.
Some do. I disagree with them because I think their top teams are stronger than ours, but our mid-table teams are stronger than theirs.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, they're in a good league. They've come mid-table. So, yeah, I think between them and Mönchengladbach, there's two good tests there. So, yeah, see how we go.
They're two teams to take on, and the games where you kind of 50-50 with pre-season when you kind of look at it and think, well, it's not about the result. It's about, you know, getting them out, playing together, building the team up, getting the fitness right. And then at other times, when you lose to Hartlepool, for example, you kind of look and go, oh, man, we're going down. But it'd be two games where I don't expect us to necessarily win. But, you know, if we come out of those games looking competitive, then I think that's what we're looking for, really, from it.
Yeah, you just don't want to, you know, if they don't make a show of themselves and give them a good game, so you're looking for them pre-season, like I say, it is all about fitness at the end of the day and not getting any injuries. So, yeah, if they give them a decent game and they don't get the result, so be it. You know, just so long as they don't make an embarrassment of themselves, that's all you're looking for when you're playing teams like this.
The only game where out of the friendlies where I would be looking at the result as an important thing is the last one. Because I always think you need a good result in that last friendly, because by then I think you should be ready, not fully fit, because you don't get fully fit until middle of September or October, but something like, and this year that's home game against Oxford, it's part of the Kemar Roof deal, it was just something that was tacked on, which is fair enough, but that one is a home game, unlike my stumbling before. It'll be the Saturday before the season, as we traditionally have, that we should hopefully be at that game anyway. So I would think that would be the first time we see what Christensen considers to be his strongest team.
Yeah. It's always nice to get him back at Elland Road, see him up close for those who don't get to go to the away games, be it when they go on tour or when they play the likes of, like this year, Harrogate and Geisley, etc. It's always nice to see him in front of a known crowd. It's usually a decent crowd for a friendly. It'd be also nice to see Pep Clatet, but, you know, see how he's getting on. I just think it'll be a good occasion, all in all. At Oxford, for the level that they're at, decent team, they'll be... I dare say they'll probably, you know, for a friendly, they'll probably bring a decent amount of fans. It's a big game, you know, albeit a pre-season game. I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
I mean, you normally have around 10,000 or so there as well. It's only, last few years they've turned into the fun day. And I'm going to give you a nice seamless transition now. It's normally the day that they release the away kit.
Yes, they do. We normally play in the away kit.
Yeah, quite often that's the case. And one thing, we kind of glossed over it. We did mention it briefly when we talked about signing Vernon and Eater. But Leeds have a new kit that they appear to have directly stolen from Swansea.
I think this is what drove Gary Monk out. He saw them Kappa symbols going up the side of it and he just thought, nah, I'm not having no part of that. The last one I'd had, Adidas stripes going up. I can't wear this. That's just my view on it anyway.
I can't ever get my head around changing the colours of the badge. I don't mind the sponsor being gold. I don't mind the Kappa being gold. I just don't like changing the club logo. That is just wrong to change the badge. It should be blue, yellow, white.
I can live with it when they've done it on away shirts in the past, like when we had our famous glow-in-the-dark shirt, when it was green and black, and the cream, I'll call it, because it's not gold, it's cream. The Macron shirt that we had a few years ago, the badge was gold and blue on that. I can live with it on away shirts, but yeah, I'm with Casey on this. Home shirts should be very traditional. Yeah. As far as Leeds United are concerned.
No, I agree with that. And to be honest, the other thing that worries me about this kit is, and I know that they're selling a non-match fit version and all of that stuff, but as a man who is a decent amount overweight, I can't imagine wearing that thing.
I'll be honest, I have got a bit of the Kappa stuff, despite myself. And yeah, the sizes are brilliant. It's, although saying that though, it is weird though when you go to end of season sales and you see, you know, instead of just having 5XL left, they've got all small, medium and large left, you know, because anyone that doesn't wear 6 stone wet through has to get 5 sizes too big to, you know, look remotely normal in them. Unless you're Pontus Janssen, he looks lovely in his.
He'd look lovely in anything though, just because he is such a man.
I don't know, Ronaldo Vieira did give him a run for his money, though. He looked very buff. We're entering into a bit of a grey area here.
In fairness, according to Twitter, Lee Irwin also looked interesting in the shirt, but for different reasons.
What, the fact that he was seen in a Leeds shirt?
Yeah, well, people were saying he'd had a good summer, put it that way.
Ah, poor Lee.
No, I'm not the biggest fan of the new kit, but it's not something I find particularly important, to be honest. If Leeds won the league this season, I bet by end of season it'd be one of my favourite kits ever, because that's what we do.
Yeah, it's weird how you get affiliations with kits. I mean, down years, I mean, don't get me wrong, we've had some shockers. You know, the Diodora one is a standout one for me. But, you know, talking of, you know, shirts that you affiliate yourselves with, you know, obviously there's the Strongbow shirts. I think everyone will love them forever. The Lazio shirt.
Well, you mean the ones that all the Huddersfield and Bradford fans have got in the closet?
And the Hull fans as well. Yeah. Let's not forget Hull in this one. Yeah.
But as we said on the last podcast, we don't count Hull and Middlesbrough as Yorkshire's.
No.
Oh, you know, I'm sat here right now wearing the shirt that never was, the black Strongbow shirt that was spoken about a lot. To this day, I have no idea where it came from. I just saw it on eBay and went, I'm having that. I like it. When we first touted the idea of having the black shirt, I really liked it. And then, unfortunately, we ended up with some Dayglow pinstripes on it as well, which weren't too nice, but
I mean, for me,
it's quite nice. The blue one, the blue Strongbow shirt, and the yellow one, the away one. I always think of Anderlecht away, for that yellow one. Yeah, we had some great kits.
I mean,
this season's isn't one of them.
I mean, for me, one of my all-time favourite shirts, and it's just a shame what we associate it to now. It was the away shirt from the year we got relegated from the Premier League. The dark blue one with the yellow and white pinstripes, the Nike and white McKay one.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice shirt.
That was a belting shirt, but it's just got a lot of tainted memories, that's all. But yeah, I mean, in all fairness, the Kappa kits, it's well documented that they're not the best fit in the world, to put it nicely, but I think they're a lot like Macron. They're not the best makes in the world, but they've done some nice kits.
Yeah, like the one where we ended up with no sponsor for legal reasons, that turned out to be a nice kit.
I think that was the one time when we released that kit, I think most fans in the country kind of, you know, got on board with us a little bit, purely because of a shirt, but yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the shirt we had in our first season back in the Championship. Did that shirt get released on the day of the Bristol Rovers game we got promoted?
Yes, it did.
It did, yeah. I have vivid memories of picking that shirt up. And I thought so, yeah, because we wore it for that last game. And that was one of the nicest shirts, because that was just a plain white shirt. You know, they say what you will about netflights.com, but they made the sponsor look all right on it. That's one of the nicest kits I think we've had in recent years.
Yeah, it's how a Leeds shirt should look. Plain white, blue sponsor, normal badge, minimal, just how it should be. None of this, you know, faffing about with it, putting blue stripes on it and all, whatever that has been done with our home shirt in the last 20 odd years.
Like as one with the big giant blue line up the middle that looked like a pack of silk coat, you mean?
Yeah, you know, but that again, you know, you talk about what you associate that shirt to, and you know, and KC will remember this vividly, the Rudy Austin forearm smash when he got sent off on the last game of the season. Yeah, that's something I'll always associate that shirt to. Yeah.
Did Juve get sent off that game as well?
Juve got sent off for grabbing his balls in front of the Brighton fans, that's right. Yeah, he scored a penalty, if I remember rightly. And he ran basically the length of the pitch. He went all Emmanuel Adebayor on us, but only he grabbed his balls at the end.
Yeah, he was a bit of an interesting guy, wasn't he, Juve? Juve's one of those weird ones. You know, basically, last podcast, we mentioned how people got Warnock. And we had that. A lot of people thought, yeah, this time he could be our dickhead, though, and we'll like him because of that. That did happen with El Hadj Diouf. I remember when he came, he got booed on.
It was a Shrewsbury game in the Cup.
Yeah, he got booed on when he came on. And within 3 weeks, everyone loved him. And it was, to be honest, before he went a bit mental at the end and just started going to funerals every week and disappearing, he really did put in a shift, because he still didn't do that much running and stuff, but he had such quality on dead balls and stuff like that, but he ended up turning it round, and I like to see that, and he became our dickhead.
He replaced Becchio in mastering the art of sticking your ass into a defender and falling down and getting his free kicks.
They're still both poor man's David Healy for that.
Healy.
Stars in the bright sky, look down where.
Healy.
We talk about our fondness of El Hadj Diouf after a while, but he was in a team that had Luke Varney, Lee Peltier and Paul Green in it, so there weren't many players in that team that you could really get behind and love. Pretty much him and Ross.
Yeah, but in all fairness though, you know, we are talking about a team where Ross Barkley couldn't get a game, you know, so say what you will about him, you know, I think that tells its own tale.
Can you remember that little kid that dressed up as Diouf?
Yeah, that was so wrong on so many levels, but so funny.
How did he get away with that? Imagine if a 20-year-old had done that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd have been convenient that now West Yorkshire Police are based over at the roadfront ground. You wouldn't have had far to be taken. But, you know, I think it'd be a nice touch, you
there's,
know.
There's something about it when it is just meant in an innocent way. We're just...
Yeah, I do believe, though, that, you know, when you get not that much older than that little kid, there is a cut-off when that becomes acceptable and not acceptable. And I think he was on the borderline, if I'm being honest.
All I can imagine is, when that kid gets married, when best man's giving his speech, that's going to be the giant picture behind him.
Half the family thinking, oh God, what am I letting my daughter marry into?
In fact, for that, I really, really hope that he ends up marrying like a black lass or something, so that all her family's looking going, what the hell are you marrying?
Oh dear.
Could you imagine the reaction? Just especially if none of them know.
Yeah, it would be an interesting one. It would be one of the most elaborate, funniest pranks you could play as a best man.
Right, even for us, that's a weird tangent.
Yeah, it's a weird one, is that?
We were talking about the new kit.
Yeah, but I think though, when you start talking about El Hadj Diouf, you do go off on weird tangents. We're talking about a man here who went up to Scotland and made the Old Firm derby even more controversial. I think when he comes into conversation, it does turn a bit weird. I think that's just a given.
Ah, well then, in that case, it's my fault.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah. Apologies. But, that, in fact, you know what? Because that was so weird, we should end it on a really weird note.
Yeah.
So, thanks very much to everyone for listening. And I can say everyone this time instead of four or five people, because, actually, that's another thing I want to say. Thanks very much for all the responses and stuff we got on Twitter. And for people listening to it and giving us a chance and stuff. We really got a much bigger response than we ever thought we'd get. We got... I won't go into them. We set ourselves a relatively modest target and we got triple that target. And we're really, really pleased. So thank you very much. Everyone who shared us on Twitter, everyone who's got involved when I've posed questions and stuff, it's really, really appreciated. But anyway, thanks very much for listening to episode 2 of the Mighty Whites podcast. This time I can actually do plugs because we've actually bothered to set stuff up this time. We're at Mighty Whites Pod on Twitter. We're available on SoundCloud, and we are at mightywhitespodcast.com. We'd like you to go to the website because at the minute no one listens through the website, but it's a good thing. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're on YouTube. They should all be up relatively close to each other. There might be a little bit of delay for YouTube because it requires turning it into a video. But thanks very much for listening. I've been Jack, thanks a lot.
I've been Chris, thank you.
And I've been Casey, have a good day.